taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, balancing form and essence with Reiki master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto, and I'm here with Reiki, balancing form and essence. We're delving into possibly essence these days with our interviews on mystic experience, mystic order. Is this existent in Reiki? Is it a natural part of our human life? And where can we find it if we are seeking it? All these questions have been addressed in the previous interviews with different responses, and it's been fascinating to listen for myself about all the different things that people think about mysticism and mystic. As an introduction to our guest today, I met Timothy some years ago because he came to the Reiki community in Idaho with his education, skill, experience in something called family constellation work. And since then, I've been a client of Tim's. I've also had the pleasure of having a dinner or two with him socially. And we've had some great conversations about lots of different things in Reiki, and mostly on the energetic level. And I was really curious to know, with his background, how he would define mystic, and if he feels that what he's doing contains mystic experience. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, greetings, Phyllis, and everybody out there. Glad to be here. Wow, that's a big question. You know, Reiki came into my life in 1997. It was a long and happy trail through family constellation training. I remember my first weekend in constellation work on the Sunday morning, the third day. I walked outside and said, okay, my world is never going to be the same. Something that was before invisible, but only sensed in a way, has become visible to me. I felt the same way when I was offered the opportunity to be initiated in the field of Reiki as an energy medicine. And I realized there was something akin in that mystery. I could not explain what was happening, but I could see evidence of that happening.
Mm-hmm. So did you come to Reiki at the same time as Family Constellation, or I'm not quite getting the connection?
Shortly after, probably about a third of the way through my Constellation training.
Mm-hmm.
I had done some other energy work, specifically in body energy work with acupressure, and had been trained a little bit in that field, and was very curious about the energy of the body, how it flows, works, and how the energy of bodies together in close proximity or even in thinking or praying about them could affect the other person. So I've always been keen on that invisible path between all of us.
Mm-hmm. So when you entered into the family constellation work, did you enter it because it was the next step in your own therapeutic process, or because, or maybe some other reason, or was it because you were looking for this, a way to work with this connection of oneness, so to speak?
Yes, to all of those.
All of those.
It was a soup. I had my precious friend and mate, Cynthia, at the time, was very interested in delving into my work. I had a perfect partner to go exploring and playing with, work times and off times. And we did many modalities, learning a lot about body talk and kinesiology and different modalities for accessing all of these energy points. And Reiki was a natural extension. And I happened to meet people in my constellation training that were Reiki trained already. Some of them had been masters, had been initiated. And so there was this great feeling of, oh, this is another step.
Mm-hmm. So of course, in preparation for the show, Tim and I have talked a little bit about this possibility of having mystic experience in the work that he does in Family Constellation, and also possibly in his own Reiki experience. And Tim, I'd like to ask you this question again on the air.
Go for it.
Okay, so have you had a mystic, do you feel like you've had mystic experiences in these two energy, I don't know what you'd call them, in these places where you have training and you have practice?
I have. Although I have to take a little side note and talk for a minute about having to go to the dictionary to look up mystic and mystery. after our conversation and order, because again, I'll back into the constellation. Constellations are about bringing order, and there's a way that you do that that seems very mysterious or mystic, because it's something that can be sensed but cannot necessarily be explained. And so, I will take it into the Reiki field. As I practiced Reiki, which I could always practice more, forever. It's a deep well that goes on forever. I have found there are times when there is no time all of a sudden. There are times when there is a connection that feels much, much larger than I could have imagined and much slower than I could have dreamt with another person. And in that space and time, there's those little crystal moments that something shifted, something changed. And suddenly you're back, I guess, there. Present rather than present and present.
Right.
So, yes, I've had that happen. I don't know how to explain it. I'm comfortable with the fact that I just don't get it in words. Poetry sometimes come closer.
Definitely. Well, for you listeners, you know, when Tim and I had this discussion the other day, he said, you know, I don't know if I've ever had a mystic experience, and is that okay on your show?
True.
So I said, well, yes, because there are a lot of people out there who have the same feeling. And, you know, this is why I'm, and one of the reasons, one of my motivations to introduce this topic in the show, because I feel like, you know, it's really easy to wonder if it's our fantasy or if it's something that we imagined in the moment, or is it some strange kind of happening that we don't have control over, so should we be afraid of it? And then the other side is that there are people who actually come to Reiki seeking what I would call mystic experience and receiving this quality of life that feels like there's mysticism or mystic experience in everything that we do in Reiki. So there are these two sort of, I wouldn't call them extremes, but definitely ends of the spectrum. So I thought that we were going to have a fun discussion, Tim, in exploring the I don't know part. So I'd like to go back to your I don't know part, because I feel like that's of value. And ask how you, what did you do with these experiences before you looked in the dictionary?
I kind of cataloged them under my favorite place to catalog them, which is an emotional heart experience. And I allow my mind to find a way to that place. And I don't often know how it does that. When I talked a minute about poetry, what I have noticed, I can point to some things that are evidence of this experience, even though I can't always point to the experience itself. Some of the evidence of a mystic experience for me is the feeling that I have without explanation, or the slowing down of time. Before our conversation, when I looked up mystique or mystery, I thought, you know, I always qualified myself, especially in the last 10 years, religious-wise, as being a mystic, because I believe it's a big mystery, and I don't get it all. And the more people that I meet that have different explanations, and often the same feeling that I can feel that touches me, but completely different explanations, but the energetic charge behind them is this open, expansive, compassionate, slow, rhythmic, feeling. I go, well, that's what I'm talking about, but it's different. So my sense of the mystery is that, oh my gosh, how can so many of us be imbued with this quality, this essence, and have different languaging all around it, or either how we touch it, or how we manage it, or how we share it, or what we look for, or what is attractive about it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that amazes me that there's this huge common ocean of some kind of sensory yes that comes out of my heart, a sigh. And the language is completely something I never even imagined.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty mysterious to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten more comfortable in that I really don't know what this is, but golly, there's something very, very attractive and very genuinely generative and kind about this energy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Does that help at all?
Well, it does, and I'm just also in this place of just wondering, did you ever feel that it might be what we might call a figment of your imagination? Or did you just accept your experience as your experience without having to erase it?
Oh, I wish I was that good. Oh, heck yes. In the beginning, there were, and there were days when I can't get to that feeling, and I think, did I just see that, or am I really present enough to pass this information along?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Am I cluttered, too cluttered? And then sometimes it's like I don't get it at all, and I just stand there because I know that something is happening, even if I don't get it. So no, I didn't get to this like, oh my God, that's the feeling, and I always can get it back now. It's
uh-huh.
almost like the weather. Some days I can get it like falling off a log. I dream about it. And then some days, I can't scratch it up for love nor money.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So somehow there's this part of it that is so much bigger than I am, I don't always see the wave of it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, I guess that's where there's a certain amount of belief that that's okay. I found this more standing in the field in the constellation work, because if you could imagine Reiki happening in this space between your hands and the person you're with, and yet happening something
uh-huh.
inside you at the same time.
Uh-huh.
We'll come back to this.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Tim. We're going to get back to some more about family constellation and this connection about producing mystic experiences. We'll be back with Tim Cunningham. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
Are you ready to crash through illusion, break through your personal barriers, and slay the internal nemesis of your dark side? TNT is here to awaken your soul and unravel the hidden messages of your unconscious mind. Discover your hidden treasure map and use TNT to find the tools you need to become your own demolition tech. Collapse the old and choose the new. It's Dynamite Awareness with TNT. Tracy Irons and Tracy McMahon every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network, and visit us at www.dynamiteawareness.com.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere, on the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here today with Tim Cunningham from Spokane, Washington. And Tim has been involved in something called Family Constellation. So for those of you who don't know, this is really one of the, I'll ask Tim later. This Family Constellation work is really on the cutting edge right now of a work that's being done in the psychological realm, we'll call it. If you've read the E card, you'll know that I did a little history of psychology. When I went to school in the 1960s, psychology was still trying to be a science. And so we had to take statistics and lots of experimental psychology, how to write up empirical studies and so on, and because they really wanted a place beside biology and math and so on. And I always thought this was really kind of strange, but I didn't really understand why I felt it being strange. And then, thank goodness, there were people who realized that possibly people were human beings. We were human. We had our own foibles. We had our own fears and all the different things that influenced us to become the people that we were. And it wasn't a bad thing or a good thing, it was just human. And then psychology went to, and this is a gross generalization, of course, psychology then went to the transpersonal movement, which was really acknowledging that we as people have souls and that we are born whole. We aren't born disconnected or anything. We're born whole. And in our living, we end up acquiring defense mechanisms and ways of coping with our environment and with what we bring in with ourselves in order to have as safe a life as possible. And that, you know, our soul transcends this and comes to a point where we can always connect back to our soul. And this movement happened right at the time when Reiki started to become popular. And I feel that the popularity, quote unquote, of Reiki was really connected with this movement of humanistic transcending into transpersonal psychology. People started to look for things that really allowed them to make this transition and to understand how they could touch this part of themselves that might also be called spirit. And then there was the man that I heard of first was a man by the name of Bert Hellinger from Germany way back in the 1980s when I started going to Germany, and people started to talk about this man and the work that he was doing, and I never heard the term family constellation till much later, but they just said, you have to go and watch this man work. He is so amazing. And the essence, if I may put it in my own words, and then we'll invite Tim to do his words. He took this concept that we all kind of, that we all accepted as truth, that human beings had souls, and this real, this way of working with us as being one. Like back in the 80s, when I was struggling with, you know, am I a human or not, the New Agers were chanting, we are one, we are one, we are one, and I went to go, oh, are you kidding me? He took this to a whole nother level, and it wasn't within the realm of religion or spirituality. He took it to a place of connection with our emotional, spiritual selves, this part of us, and created a way for us to experience oneness in a very different way. So, Tim, would you say that that was vaguely on track?
No, I think you hit it pretty well.
Great.
Great job on that. Good job.
I'm a little bit just in my own very beginner place with family constellation, so I'd love for you to talk a little bit about your own understanding of the basis of family constellation work.
I think Bert Hellinger actually helped create a landscape where you could actually place your family members in a circle and walk through them and feel what it felt like to be in your landscape. I think that's the biggest kin that it has to Reiki as a transpersonal. You could actually energetically feel these connections between your family members, even though some of them were just your story.
Uh-huh.
In that sense of the word, it's the same thing as when you do Reiki and you sit down and just feel and you open up to that energy. It's the same kind of feeling when you open up to a family constellation field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for your readers or your listeners, the folks, when you do a constellation, of course, you set up your family members or a dynamic with humans, other people in the group, standing around the room in places that you think fit your own mental or emotional or psychological model of how things went in your family. And then the individual who called the constellation sits down, and you start to work with the participants, asking them basically how do they feel and what feels better, and when they move, what's the best place for them to stand. And you can use that to interpret what's happened or where the energy lies, where the pattern is strongest, or where the weaknesses in the field lie.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can work with that to move people around to find the strongest energetic solution for that family pattern.
One of the things that I have found so fascinating is the experience of standing in a place of someone's sister, for instance. And all of a sudden, I know that sister. Like, that sister is inside of me. Whether I don't know her name, I don't even really need to know her name. I just need to know where I stand in relationship to the rest of the family and where I stand with the person who is whose constellation it is. And then, as I speak my part, we could say it's really amazing kind of role-playing. I end up saying things to this person whose constellation it is, things that I couldn't possibly physically know, and being in a way that I couldn't possibly understand from the three-sentence description that I've had before. There's some energetic that happens that allows me to, for those moments, be the sister. And this, for me, is a mystic experience. This is an experience of understanding that in some way we human beings are one.
Well said. Yeah, I agree. That is what I have found. The same experience, Phyllis, I have stood in. I do both lead and stand in. I love going to stand in as a participant. I can tell you the physical, emotional feelings that come through standing in as a representative for a mother, a brother, a father, a sister is there. You can sense it. You can feel it. It affects your body. And at the same time, you're fully conscious that you're standing in this constellation, having this experience of this energy around you, like, whoa. And then when you listen to it, you actually can feel your way to express in that energetic field what's happening in your body.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what sex it is, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Or age.
Oh, no. No. All of it comes through. It's the strangest thing, Phyllis. I don't usually tell of constellations except in the second person or what happened in a general constellation of a young man who accidentally had burned his brother as a child, and the child died. So this brother carried this guilt his whole life. I did not know this when I stood in the constellation for the younger brother, but I reported feeling ill and that my scalp and my hair were so hot, I felt like it got hot in the room all of a sudden.
Wow.
It was a tangible, physical feeling, and I was really shocked, and I have been through this hundreds of times, and thought, oh, my God, this is what I'm going to have to tell. I've never felt this before.
Right.
Very strong physical connection with. And when I said that, then the young man that had called the constellation put his hand to his mouth, and it was his father and his uncle that were in this. He said, oh, my God, that's what happened to my uncle, my father. This happened. And I was like, oh, whoa. Okay, something passed between that young man in that constellation to me clearly enough that I could speak to it.
Amazing. So would you call this, first of all, I'm just wondering, this is a little bit risky, so we'll take all the disclaimers. Would you say that Bert Hellinger would describe this as a mystic experience, or is this a psychological or is there psychological language that can be used to, quote, explain this phenomena?
I think he would think I was nutty for asking him that. He would look at me almost like, you know how grandfathers sometimes look at you when you ask him what a hammer's for and you want to take out a window? He would almost look at me like, you know, it'll work, but that's not quite what we mean.
Right.
And he had this way of disarming every concept, and you know, there's been a lot of conversation over time. Is it a mystic experience? I remember we spent one whole day in my training around the question, do you have to have a religion to do family constellation?
Oh, that's a great question.
Could you imagine asking people to stand up for the spirit of their religion? Hey, pick a representative for the spirit of your religion. Pick a representative for the follower of your religion. Pick a representative for somebody representing family constellations. Now, let's put them up and see how they interact in this model.
Wow. What happened?
Oh, my gosh. It was like this blending where in or out, it appeared that when we put in, is this a human condition?
Uh-huh.
Everybody in the system got stronger.
Wow.
The religious aspect got stronger. The family constellation aspect got stronger. The person that was in need got stronger. And this happened in practically every angle that we tried.
Well, that is amazing. Well, unfortunately, it is time for a break. So, Tim, you hold that thought, and
right,
we'll be back with the rest of Tim's response after this big break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki Magazine International has readers in over 40 countries worldwide. Reiki Magazine International is respectful and open towards every Reiki school or lineage.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more. You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere. On the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We were just in the midst of Tim describing his experience of being in or being a part of a family constellation, or a constellation work. Under the question, do you have to have a religious practice to do family constellation work? Was that the question?
Pretty close to it, yeah. Phyllis. Somebody brought it up, and they were very specific. They wanted to know, you know, I have a religion. Does this interfere? Also, do you have to have a religion? And I think that that weekend was probably one of the most intensely emotional, beautiful, majestic experiences any of us in that room had. We had Native Americans with us from up in the Colville area. We had some people that were descendants of pioneers in that room, often at times in contra positions to the Native Americans.
Oh, fascinating.
Very, very tense. There were constellations that weekend that were all flavored with how do we carry on in our physical world, given our spiritual challenges. There was a young woman who called a constellation between Great Spirit and Jesus.
And, oh, wow.
And that woman set herself up with Great Spirit and with Jesus. And I want you to know, I've never heard such keening and wailing in sorrow as this woman stepped into this circle and put these two figures up that in her life had represented so much conflict and yet were the actual genesis of all her spiritual world.
Uh-huh.
It was a beautiful constellation to watch, just to watch the system open up and embrace all that love.
Uh-huh.
There was no conflict once you got past that system.
Uh-huh.
The end of that weekend really brought a sense that it is truly a human, heartfelt, and possibly soulful, although we don't know what that means, experience for humans to touch each other at this level and to be seen by those with the right intention at this level.
Uh-huh. So I just caught this phrase, those with the right intention. Can you say
correct
about that part?
I think when you enter into a circle in a constellation, we ask that you be mindful of three things, that what goes on in the circle stays in the circle, that you be here to support with all of your heart, and that if you cannot stand for a place, say so up front. Just excuse yourself.
Uh-huh.
And if you say yes, then be there with all that you can be for that other person. Walk a mile or 100 in that person's shoes.
Uh-huh.
And when I think when that intention happens, then the room becomes a place around some kind of wonderful fire that is invisible, where all of you are lit by that fire.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So when you set up a constellation, you're setting a space, and I know that space, this word is used so much. Do you have another word?
No, space is pretty good. Calling a circle, you know, it truly is. That's perfect. You're creating a space, Phyllis. You know that. You've been in that space.
Okay, so you create a space where something happens that's extraordinary.
Yes.
That people who are in the constellation and the people who are observers, is that what you call them?
Yes.
Both experience this extraordinary energetic. And it's interesting for me that it's possible that this is not a mystic experience in one sense, because maybe it's just an unknown part of our human connection.
I must offer that the use of the word unknown actually creates what is a mystery. And that is the beauty of it. You're right. Is it a sense of a beautiful piece of music that all of us could learn more about, and that it goes on in symphonies and more symphonies, and yet we just haven't heard them? And that it really means being human to have these experiences, thus, in a way, for me, mystic? Oh, gosh, I don't know, but God, I feel human when I'm in them.
Uh-huh.
You know? And I don't know what all that means, so I just have to kind of let it go.
Right. Well, I feel that way about Reiki. It's like when people, in the early days, when people would have an experience of Reiki, and then, you know, it was invariably, well, everybody in the world should have this experience. So then, you know, masters began to change what I consider to be the form of the system, and so that more people, it could be available to more people, and I think that was exactly what happened. And now there are millions of people in the world practicing Reiki, and, you know, is this just desire to give something that we are innately, that we innately have inside of us as human beings, this gift that has been given through this man, whoever he was, Mikao Usui, is very interesting, because then it brings me to a question, well, is this really just simply a new horizon of human experience? Or, and is there all, are there also mystic experiences that are outside or beyond human experience?
I'll never know the answer to the second one at this point. You know, in my other life, in my work, I'm a sensory development teacher. I teach people how to work with their senses, especially taste and smell. And smell's very interesting because it's invisible, yet it leaves imprints on us that are memorable, that are sensual, that create in our body responses that we can't control. They're automatic. So in that sense of the word, this may be like an octave. I all the words, they so fail me, Phyllis. The grandness of the feeling. I think Hellinger, I shudder to speak for what constellations are. I can only speak to really what they have done to me through me form, you know, right? And there is this sense, this grokking, this big wheel of being connected. And I feel the same thing when with Reiki. There's almost like a quiet little space that comes down to a smaller constellation of just one other person and myself. And the constellating work goes on someplace in between me and them, and I'm not often aware of how it's constellating itself. Or laying out, you know, finding its order amongst the two of us.
Yeah, wow. That's interesting. I mean, it brings up a question, this question for me that I can't answer also, the question that I just asked you. And so one of the other things that I'd like to revisit, to go back, is this question about do you need to be, do you need to believe in spirit, or do you need to have a religion in order to have mystic experience? And in the last interviews, it is, I think, almost unanimous that the people that I've interviewed feel that you can be religious and not be a mystic or not acknowledge mystic experience, but it would be very difficult to be a mystic and not have a religious background. Religious in the very broad sense of the word, meaning a spirit, being aware of spirituality.
Right. I separate those two very distinctly into spirituality being a birthright of all, possibly all creatures on the planet. I don't know, because I don't know what a rock feels. Okay, but the Paralandra people will help me understand that if I work with their spirit, they work with me. And that I have found to be true as well. So in that sense of the word, I think the spirituality is a truly human event, and religion is a realignment of clusters of spiritualities for the ideal or the goals expressed in a religion. So I separate those two in my own mind, that they are one of a pure individual. Every human has a spiritual component. And that spiritual component may lead them to bond with other religious people. Spiritual people, I'm sorry, at a rejoining or a rejoining of a level. So there's 10 or 20 that find the same form or language about their spirits and how they express them. And Reiki may well be another one of those in a very human physical form. And I would not speak for what it is, only what I could sense of it. that it is a regrouping of a mystical order, an order that comes when you spend time focusing on that initiation point of life.
Uh-huh.
And you bring that and make a home for that in your own heart, soul, spirit. And then you are able to become a vessel that communicates or sings that. Yeah, I think in that sense of the word, it's a humanistic extension into our soul or our highest octaves.
So I wanted to come, and you just reminded me that I also wanted to revisit the word order. One of the things that I find fascinating in the family constellation work is this sense that there is a natural order, and it is different for each of us given the context of our family. So for all of us, we, of course, all have parents, but then we don't all have siblings and so on. So that's the different part, but there is an order of natural orderness, like it's important who's the eldest and who's the youngest, and if there are children in between that weren't acknowledged and so on. Is that true?
That is a very good way to put it, Phyllis. You did it. That was wonderful, because I really clicked into the idea that we may all be in a different place or different order, but all of us have an order.
Right.
Okay, and there is a place in that order where we fit better than another place.
Uh-huh.
And so, yes.
Yeah, and I feel that in my acknowledging Reiki for myself as a mystic order, I don't know if it's a combination of different things, but I do realize that what the energy of Reiki does for me is it puts me into my order. It places me in my natural birthright place. This birthright is not about I had the right to be here, but it's more that this is where I naturally fall. In my family, in my community, and also in my own destiny, in what I bring with me through the birth canal, and in joining other people who have the same possibility to be in their own order, we then, like an orchestra, also can have a global order. Where if we all play our own song, we end up producing incredible sound.
Agreed. That's wonderful.
And this, for me, is this sense underneath the word order in Reiki. So we're at a break time now. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere, on the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her two-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food, it's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're in a very... Well, I'm really touched by speaking with Tim about family constellation work. It's fascinated me. I haven't had time to really get into it in the way that I would like. And there is a lot of different parallels that I see within my own practice of Reiki and also family constellation. So Tim, during the break, you came up with a question for me.
And this whole idea about order, we talked about order briefly. Everybody has a birthplace and an order. They may be one, two, or three in the birthplace, but all of them have a place in order. And Phyllis, you, I wanted to ask you how this is for you. You have a familial relationship to the practice of Usui Reiki by what was handed down to you from your grandmother. And you have created an order, a family, as it were, of energetically handing down this gift from your family, which is actually two orders. So I am not a direct lineage of your family in blood from the womb, but I share an order with you of an energetic lineage that travels down its own line with its own ordering. How is that for you to keep those, you know, balanced?
Well, I think...
or even to see them, you know...
I think, you know, from the very beginning, it has been very confusing. And the more that I have been able to integrate psychologically the different parts of myself as Phyllis, of course, I can't extract myself from the order of birth or being my grandmother's successor in some people's eyes. I just needed to regroup my own self. And once I found my center, it was and integrated these two parts of myself, this Reiki master part and my personality part, I was able to more handle this other, I don't know the word. It looks sometimes like conflict, but it's more of a... there's a word, but it's more of an increase in volume. What's the word for this?
Amplitude, to turn up the volume.
Yes, you turn up the volume. It's like, okay, you know, another degree of the same thing. And what's fascinating for me is that I have a very dear friend of mine who's a Sufi Sheikha, and she kept saying, Phyllis, you have to meet my teacher, because he is in exactly the same place as you. He's the oldest son of his father, who was the head of this order, Sufi order, and, you know, he was given this. He was the successor for his father, and the issues that came up for him. But I never did meet this man, which was really quite sad on some level.
Well, I think it makes an interesting setup of choices for you.
It makes a huge setup of choices, and I see that, it's now less confusing for me, but I have very little language to put it into, because I haven't had, like, a body experience of it, and for many other people out there, it's truly confusing.
Well, maybe maybe we can put you in this in the constellation we're going to do.
Well, exactly, and I was going to say that and tell the listeners that in a week or a week and a half, we're going to start a 5-day retreat where Tim is going to be the facilitator of the retreat, and there are a number of us from this practice, Usui Shiki Ryoho, who are going to be there, and we're going to work with questions such as this. and using the practice of family constellation. And it's very exciting for me because I feel that one of the things that is has been a true gift for me through Reiki is that I've been able to experience energy in my body. Before that, energy was a fantasy. I have been able to experience physical oneness with someone when my hands lay on a person and I can't feel, all of a sudden, I can't feel the difference between them and myself. That's a body experience that I've had through Reiki and is, for me, a mystic experience because I was one physically with that person for a few minutes. So there are lots of these different experiences, and this is, for me, how I process information. I just, by the way, listened or watched a documentary, Bill Moyers, interviewing Joseph Campbell about the hero myth. And he said, you know, we don't operate through our mind. Just this is Joseph Campbell. He said our mind is a secondary organism. It is our body that leads us. We operate through our body consciousness.
I agree.
And that was so revealing for me. And I thought, wow, this is another underline to my own experience of needing my body to have an experience in order for me to know it's the truth. And I feel that this process for me is going to be very exciting in another 10 days. And it's also very exciting for me to look back on my experiences of Reiki and see how they've developed through my body consciousness. I assume that also happens in family constellation work.
Well, you do learn. I think that's one thing when you tune a group, the first couple of constellations that you do, everybody starts to get into the mode of what are you looking for, what are you sensing for, what are my hands to feel with in that constellation. So I think you get the... You develop that language as you go, and I would imagine, as you were just speaking about having a body experience, you use the word that my body needs, and what I saw written in my mind was the word K-N-E-A-D, how you would knead a loaf of bread or knead someone's muscles, how you would touch them, so that the actual physical experience of your body kneading or touching another, and
right.
I think that's one of those word plays that's really important, and I'll thank the Angelus cards for sharing that with me over time, but I think there is this incredible, boundless space of learning to touch our spirit more deeply.
Uh-huh.
And these are like tools that allow us to encroach upon this invisible walkway. And our history as humans for 70,000 years is rife with the idea of shamanism or spirit guides. And then the last evolutions of religions and more spiritual adepts and orders. And I'm pleased to say that I'm comfortable not knowing how it works, but I am certain that it is a spiritual order.
Uh-huh.
I want to go back to your spiritual order and your familial order.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm clear that while I am not of your blood, there is something that we share that is very special about the who of you and what you've passed on. And when I look at the two of those, and I can kind of see them, I can kind of see them separate, and I can kind of see them also woven together. We talked a little bit about balance. You find yourself, Phyllis, for you, having a desire to stay in physical contact with this spiritual part of yourself.
Is that a question or a statement?
Yeah, do you find yourself having to stay in
yes.
like physically reaching into the spirit part of you?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So it does build a desire, a drive to go deeper on this trail.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, you know, I would say it, let's see if I am getting this. I would say it in another way. The more I do Reiki, the more I need it.
There you go. Okay, good. That's, I think there's something really evolutionarily brilliant in that we do that. We follow our paths of our heart, and we grow closer.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? It seems like we should grow apart, but we don't. We grow closer.
That is right.
That is a mystic experience.
Amen to that.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you, Phyllis.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.